Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here today. Switching gears a little bit. Now, talking about Ginger, I'm representing our student, Ibn Rahim, and Reza Rafi, all of us at Virginia State University. We're an 1890 land grant in Southern Virginia, about 2 hours south of D.C., directly south on 95. And we've done a little bit of work here on yield and quality of ginger roots grown under high tunnel conditions and field conditions at our research station in Petersburg. So this morning I'd like to kind of go over some background information about ginger. Some of you might know a lot about ginger, some of you might not. Talk a little bit about some of our why we're doing the work that we're doing with ginger, and talk a little bit about this experiment that we helped Ibn with. First of all, ginger, it's been cultivated for a long time. You see here one of our workers at our farm is holding a nice harvest of ginger right there that was taken from one plant. It does appear to be Asian origin. It's more of a tropical species, so not something you'd really see in Virginia growing. Has anybody seen ginger growing before or worked with it? Okay, excellent. And of course, it does produce the underground rhizomes that you see here. So if you haven't, I've got some pictures like this one right here. The work that we're doing with ginger started back around 08 or 09 when Reza Rafi came to Virginia State. I'd been working a lot with high tunnel structures and traditional crops that were there, that were doing tomatoes and things like that. He brought some of his experience from Honduras with ginger and among other things, but ginger, and brought that idea of maybe utilizing the high tunnels to grow ginger in Virginia and seeing if some of the farmers would be able to adopt this as a potential enterprise. So we started doing things, educational outreach activities. We're extension. We're both in extension, and so things like field days. We had our first field day. Did some work. Did our first field day in 2010. We've had one every year. I guess after 2 years, it becomes an annual event, right? So we've had that an annual event now, and at some farm sites with growers, cooperating growers, and then at our research station also, we were able to get some USDA specialty crop block funds from the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services in 2011. That really kind of helped some of the work that we were doing with the high tunnels, specifically to reduce the risk of some of the growers that we wanted to try to help get into this. Putting out some fact sheets and done a fair amount of test marketing at places like Whole Foods and at farmers markets with growers and helping some of the farmers with their CSAs and things like that. So many of you know that, you know, ginger has some medicinal purposes. It's kind of thought of as a superfood. You've heard that word a lot lately. And all of you know, if you've got children, if their stomach's upset, you give them some ginger ale, right? And so it's motion sickness, morning sickness, that sort of thing can help with that. And some other potential health benefits there. So in the U.S., most of the production has been in Hawaii, of course, and it's very, very well known, Hawaiian ginger. But they've been plagued in recent years with bacterial wilt in a lot of cases. As we tend to, at our university, at our school, as we tend to work with a lot of small farmers, a lot of limited resource, minority farmers, they are looking for something different to expand, maybe to get into. So a lot of niche crops, and certainly this fit into some of the things that we're working with there. But also the consumer desire for a functional food, the consumer's desire for locally grown things. And if you can have locally grown, and in our area, in Richmond or Charlottesville, if you can have locally grown ginger at a farmer's market, it's gonna fly off the table. And also, you know, in our case, peanuts and tobacco are waning, and looking at those farmers to see if we can help them diversify their operations into more specialty crops like this. And as you can see, ginger is just a little bit old data, but as you can see, there's been a rise in the import of ginger into the U.S. and for many years. And of course, a lot of that ginger is coming from China, a few other places, Brazil, and a few other places. The high tunnel, that's where we started, because ginger usually would take about 10 to 12 months to mature. And we don't have that in Virginia. We've got about maybe 5 to 6 months of really production time. But the high tunnel, basically an unheated greenhouse that, you know, has no real, has passive heating and cooling systems, that can, this is something that could probably, we thought, help grow the ginger. And it has. It's done a great job. There is a cost associated with this, of course. And for growers, they're looking at, for materials to build one of these structures now, it's anywhere from $350 to $450 a square foot. So that's certainly something they have to think of when they're looking at this enterprise, when they're looking at the economics of it. We have worked with both in-ground and container production with this in the tunnels. This should say seed pieces, not seed really, but when we're starting, whether it's in the high tunnels or out in the field, we start with what we try to get disease-free ginger hands that are mature, that are clean. We'll separate this into smaller pieces, anywhere from 2 to 4 ounces each, that have some well-developed nodules, eyes on them, nodes. We'll surface sterilize those with household bleach, about 10% there. And then we'll cure those, let them dry. For example, in a greenhouse, we use expanded metal bench tops to dry them on that in the greenhouse. So we'll start with that seed piece. In the greenhouse, in February, about the second week in February, we'll put one of those seed pieces in a trade gallon pot. That picture's not very good. We don't fill it all the way quite up, maybe 3/4 of the way, with some type of soilless media, a peat-based media usually. Then it takes probably 5 to 6 weeks for it to sprout and start. And at about 75 degrees or higher temperature, Fahrenheit temperature, then in May or so, they're ready to go out to the high tunnel. And the pots, are transplanted out there into the high tunnel. Of course, a grower, needs to be able to have a greenhouse to be able to accomplish this, or there needs to be a transplant producer. So we'll put that in the tunnel around May, and you can see some planting there going on. You can see what it might look like in August, and in ginger, as ginger likes the warm temperatures, you can imagine having those roll up and down curtains for ventilation on the tunnel really helps us be able to regulate and keep it warm in there. So what we're talking about harvesting in that short window is really not the mature ginger that you see, but more of a, we call it baby ginger, or immature ginger. And that would occur sometime starting in October through December, especially in the high tunnels. But you can see it there. It looks quite a bit different than mature ginger, more of a creamy flesh. It's not very fibrous at all. But going to places with farmers, going to food service, they really like ginger. Chefs really like this at this stage. And it, when you look at Hawaiian commercial production, they do harvest immature ginger, but it's a very small percentage of their total production on a commercial scale, maybe about 5%. But it does command a higher price. But for our small growers, this is perfect for them to be able to take to in a direct market situation. Some growers have started saving their seeds, and we do that some also by keeping the plants in the high tunnel till about January or February. And you can see we've got a tunnel, and then we also have another tunnel within the tunnel, an area that's covered for further protection in there. And then these seed pieces can be dried. And this is, like I said, an area before where I showed you the seed pieces and producing those. They need to be in a greenhouse. And that's what we thought of as having a grower or somebody locally that could produce transplants with this method. There are a few problems that we've seen. Not very much, though. Root rot, fusarium, leaf spot. We haven't seen any Ralstonia. Cutworm, very little problem there, but a little bit. So this simple experiment, the objective was to look at the potential of growing ginger in our area, in Virginia, or central Virginia or so, southern central Virginia, without a high tunnel. So we worked backwards a little bit. We started with the high tunnels thinking that, of course, that's going to be the best way to grow. But some of our growers, that cost I mentioned to you, they really didn't want to put that into it. And they were curious, can we grow this without the high tunnel? because, a 30 by 48 foot high tunnel, a little bit smaller than this room or so, is going to cost $4,000 to $5,000. And then if they have to put it up, it's going to cost, or if they have to pay somebody to put it up, it's going to cost another couple thousand dollars. And then we went to look at if we were able to grow it in the field and how it would compare with high tunnel production. So we had a in the field 15 replications, 16 in the high tunnel. Each plot represented two plants. We collected gross and marketable yield and a very simple way, t-test, to compare the means in this little experiment. You saw kind of how the high tunnel would have looked. I didn't have any actual pictures of the plot with me when I was putting this together. But the field looked a lot like this. It was transplanted a little bit later because we had that to get the soil temperature up, waiting for that to get up a little bit. But you can see planted there what it looked like in mid-October. And then our first frost towards the first or so week in November, you can see how that affected the plants there. When you look at the yield here of all the plots, beginning harvest, and this was, these were harvested at different times, maybe about twice a week, starting in October, early October. You can see the blue with the field, and the tunnel is the red. But you can see a real difference between between the tunnel and the field. And we actually have seen growers that are probably harvesting more like 6,000 or 7,000 grams from each plant. For some reason, we didn't do that much. This is about, on average, about 4 pounds or so, and about a little under 2 pounds or so for the field. Just making observations about marketable rhizomes that came out of each plant during each harvest period. We saw fairly similarities there as far as bad parts. You know, you can get you could have insect damage or rots on them where it was dug with the shovel. You could have cuts and things like that. So those parts would be cut off. But you see that not a whole lot of difference in between the field and the high tunnel conditions there. So basically, and this should read, I left a word out, this experiment does suggest that it is possible in southern central Virginia to grow ginger in the field, it should say in the field. And that probably has implications for other states like North Carolina and others, that there is potential. It did seem, of course, a little less, and that's kind of what we thought would happen. So the high tunnel did produce higher yield than the field. But the student Ibn Rahim was the main one that collected all the data, did a lot of the work for this particular work. So we'd like to thank him for the work he did, and the VDAX in Virginia for supporting our work with ginger, and of course out of our own state budgets we were thankful for the work we're able to do, the funding. Some of the things that I referenced in here came from Hepperly et al. With the University of Hawaii, and there's a lot of good publications from Hawaii on ginger production. But that's about it. Oh, thank you for the for your time this morning. I appreciate it. Can I try to answer any questions? Yeah, yes, sir.
Does the baby ginger have the same constituents like the pungent compounds that the more mature stuff grown in, like, say, Hawaii?
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would. We haven't analyzed it, but it's certainly, from taste, it's not nearly as pungent or strong.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot more mild, and like I said, it's not fibrous at all, as the fiber content team seems to be the longer that it's in the ground, and the senescence kind of adds some of that too. Yes, ma'am.
Did you weed the mother ginger after harvesting the baby ones? I know because they failed the mother ginger.
Say that one more time.
The ginger seeds, it will be staying there, and you can harvest them later. Do you harvest them?
Yeah, they come up with. We have to cut them off because they're very brown and not attractive. So when we plant the seed, when you dig up the whole hand of ginger, the seed piece that you started with is still attached, and it's we cut it off.
I grew up in China, mm-hmm. And my problem is actually one of the famous places for ginger production in China.
Oh yeah.
And the general public, a farmer will say that when you grow ginger, you will not lose money because you can sell the mother ginger afterwards without getting money back.
Oh.
that's why I was asking you the question.
No, we don't. We just cut it off and throw it away.
It's more flavor.
Okay. Yes.
So we actually have quite a healthy pie tunnel ginger production in North Carolina.
Yeah, I thought you did. Yeah.
East Branch ginger.
Right.
She's really gotten a lot out there.
Right.
But talking to her, we have seemed to have an issue, and she still has to get somebody else to produce her seed stock every year.
Yeah.
And just saying that they've just not been very successful doing that, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, she gets hers from Puna Organics, right, in Hawaii. And
yeah. Which I think she's making a change.
Well, she might be, right? I haven't talked to her in a while. But yeah, that's the key, because they've done a lot in Hawaii with trying to get away from the Ralstonia, and so they are.
So is that the major problem, in trying to produce your own?
Yeah, I think so. It can be. Well, we looked at it as, you know, on such a small scale and not having a lot of problems, we looked at an allied type enterprise for a grower to produce seed stock for people in North Carolina, for people in Virginia that are trying this, still knowing it's a niche crop and that we could quickly flood the market and drop the prices. But yeah, that is an issue too. And some people and we've done it. We've actually bought cases of Hawaiian ginger that's coming through food service and things like that, and used it as seed stock. We don't necessarily recommend that, because you don't know what kind of diseases could be there, but we haven't had any problems yet.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's thank all the speakers again.